You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis slings to the corner. Porter's a catch and shoot three. That's how you do it. Splashdown from the deep corner right.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
121-109, the shorthanded Bucks take down the Brooklyn Nets for the second time in as many meetings this season.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Oh, I gotta tell you, Greg, I will gladly trade the first loss in what felt like four decades to the Detroit Pistons. I will gladly trade an embarrassing second half and a loss to the Toronto Raptors, who just keep winning. I will even trade two straight losses to the Hornets tomorrow night and Monday night for these wins, for wins against James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets and against one of those teams in the East that you are currently trailing, but coming up fast on the heels of the Nets, now tied with the Nets, so you're literally on top of their heels, and the Chicago Bulls. A perfect trade in my mind. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. I'm Justin Garcia. This is Bucks Talk here on these airwaves for the next hour. What are you laughing at? It's the equivalent of getting caught up in the air and you don't know, should I shoot it or make a pass?
No, I'm the reason I was laughing was because...
No, you were laughing because I didn't know what station to specify. It's fine. You can say it.
We're everywhere. That's fine. I don't blame you for that. I'm saying that it seems that it was so long ago, those two losses that the Bucks just endured, and it all goes away with a win against the Nets.
You know what's funny? It does kind of seem like it was that long ago.
Doesn't it feel like forever ago?
Yeah, I know they lost, but when did they play the Pistons? Oh, that was Monday. Oh, okay, that was 4 days ago. Wow. That felt like 3 weeks ago. It's funny because we've had this discussion before where it's always doom and gloom. And I know, look, it's probably because I lurk around Reddit, I linger on Twitter, and you just get the worst experience possible from everyone. We're all guilty of it, but you see the doom and gloom and you think, man, they lost to the Pistons. Then they lost again to the Raptors. You heard Darvin Ham talk about the second half and how ugly it was. Now you got the Brooklyn Nets, and you got nobody to play guard, it seems like. The Hornets are playing pretty well. And we saw the track meet it was last time these two teams played. And you're not going to have any of those guys for the Hornets game. Like, ooh, this could be a five-game losing streak. It's the exact same discussion I remember seeing pretty prevalent early in the season when the talk was they could be, what was it? They were 6-8, and everybody was freaking out of, well, this could be a lengthy losing streak. They could be like 5-15 by the time this is over with. What it kind of felt like going into this weekend. I wasn't overly optimistic, but I think we've also reached the point of like, what does this matter? It's January. As long as this team gets healthy, Darvin Ham said it before the game of, we have a big picture focus right now. We're concerned on all of the little things that are going to make us better. We're concerned on staying healthy. He alluded to it as well, or actually bluntly said, you know, I'm not going to say it's a good thing to get COVID, but it's probably better for us to have to deal with this now than it is in the spring and leading into the playoffs or even in the playoffs. They've had 12 guys now in the health and safety protocols. I know for a fact, the majority of them, it's Omicron that they have dealt with. I hope that's not a HIPAA violation, but I know for a fact the majority of them are that variant that they're dealing with. I believe there's only one player, you do the math on who had it first or who was out first, that I unconfirmed on whether or not it was that variant or not. But that is the good news for the Bucks is, yeah, you're really banged up, but you theoretically are not going to have to deal with this in the spring when other teams, we're starting to see it really ramp up now. Rudy Gobert, time is indeed a flat circle that he started the pandemic, and now Rudy Gobert comes full circle, and it's the 314th player this season to enter health and safety protocols. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us tonight. A few texts rolling in already on the impressive win for the Bucks. Is this the most impressive win so far this season? It has to be, right? Ring night was great. Opening night was great. They've had some other, oh, yeah, that was nice. Christmas Day, the comeback win. The Hornets game, that was a fun win. But is this the most impressive win? We'll get to that. And also a question I threw out there in jest on Twitter, but now you re-examine it and think, well, you know what? Actually, I don't know if these are overreactions. What was the question I asked? We'll tell you after this. It is Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Ball is up. It's going to be one back by Giannis. It bounced off a couple players, pinballing around. Hood, a catch and shoot three, and he sticks it from the right wing. Rodney Hood stretches the lead back to 17, and that was a dagger from the former Duke Blue Devil.
Big Rod with a big shot there. Rodney Hood gives you productive minutes. I was going to say Semi Ojeleye gave you a big shot, but you got Semi Ojeleye on the floor and all around some impressive performances, but, I mean, it was clear tonight. This is Giannis's league. Okay, it's cute that Kevin Durant can score from wherever he wants. Great. This is still my league, guys. I'm the reigning finals MVP. We won the championship. When I show up like this, which happens pretty frequently, I'm the best player in the league. Who's the second best player in the league? Kevin Durant? It's like the old Larry Bird line of who's playing for second in the three-point contest. That's Giannis. Like, who's playing for second best player? Go to the All-Star game, fast forward to that. Steph, KD, LeBron. Who's the second best player? Bobby Portis. Who's second best player here? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Best game the Bucks won was opening day, a texter says. Yes. Sure, that was the best game they've won. One of the best games, period, as well. That game, the final 24 minutes against the Celtics, the win against the Hornets at home. But impressive. I mean, they were still relatively healthy on opening night. Tonight, they were not. And I've seen the interaction here on Twitter that people are already getting in their feelings and complaining. Like, Greg, have we not learned you don't have to consume post-game shows and media from ESPN, the TV station, not the radio station, not what you're listening to us on now, but you don't have to consume ESPN studio shows. You don't have to torture yourself and put yourself through this to hear Jalen Rose say, well, it doesn't really matter, apparently. This doesn't mean anything because the Nets were shorthanded. Nobody's forcing you to listen to this or Stephen A. or none of it. Just move past it.
I know someone else who was shorthanded on the floor today. The Bucks.
Yes.
So what's if you're going to make the Nets are shorthanded? Okay. Well, you know who was also missing a premier point guard? The Milwaukee Bucks.
Was this the most impressive win is what we're asking. When you look through the players that were out of this game, Drew Holiday out, Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton, George Hill, Grayson Allen, Brooke Lopez is still out. Was this the most impressive victory the Bucks have had so far this season? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. So, Greg, during the game, when we saw where things were headed here, you couldn't help but notice Darvin Ham was asked about this. And by the way, we got to have the Darvin Ham discussion in just a minute. But Darvin Ham was asked about this. Hey, the decision, I think it was Tim Bontemps that asked him. You had Wesley Matthews on Kevin Durant for most of the game. What was the decision behind that? Now, I don't so much care about the answer as much as the question was asked because it was pretty evident. Who defended Kevin Durant during the series in the playoffs last year? P.J. Tucker. I could see you mouthing it, unless you were saying something else.
No, I say P.J.
P.J. Tucker. We kind of joked about this because they have a pretty similar build. And I think P.J. is only an inch taller than Wesley Matthews, but when they brought in Wes, now let's go all the way back to the summer, fall actually for that matter, when Semi Ojeleye was signed. And I think we most pointed out, well, maybe this is, you know, the P.J. Tucker-ish replacement of, he's certainly less expensive than P.J. He's younger than P.J. He kind of fits the same mold that he takes corner threes. P.J. would make corner threes, but he takes corner threes. He's able to defend some varying positions. This could be a P.J. Tucker replacement of sorts. Now, we've seen, at least so far, Semi Ojeleye is not a P.J. Tucker replacement. He's not even in the same sentence. He's not in the same paragraph. He's not on the same page of that book. Wesley Matthews did a lot of those things when he was here. Wesley Matthews was one of your closers. We saw very early Wesley Matthews went back to closing, especially those defensive lineups. It was Wesley Matthews. George Hill would be in there as well. Wesley Matthews, oh, by the way, just had his contract guaranteed for the remainder of the season. I know that's another point of contention for people, and that's another discussion I guess we need to moderate here. But you can't help but watch these last couple of weeks and think, huh, is he really the P.J. Tucker replacement? Is he going to do everything P.J. did? No. Are they very, very similar on offense? What we saw from P.J. last year, yes. What we're seeing from P.J. this year, no. Apparently P.J. Tucker has more offensive game than we saw last year. But still, Wesley Matthews is able to do a lot of those things, and Wesley Matthews is still able to defend most, one through three certainly, but twos and threes, every single one of those players in the league, yes. Most point guards. Fours, you can see Wesley Matthews up. We've seen him defend some fives. P.J. Tucker did all of that. P.J. Tucker was the guy that was defending Kevin Durant in the Phoenix Suns series in the finals. P.J. Tucker was out there on Chris Paul, on Devin Booker, Miles Bridges. Handful of different guys. We've seen the same thing from Wesley Matthews. So now it's not just a cute story. It's not just two or three games. We've got enough of a sample size here to say, maybe this is it. Holy cow.
So when, because we've played this game all season, when we're trying to talk P.J. Tucker replacement, out of all the characteristics of one P.J. Tucker, which one is the one that sort of puts the, whoever this replacement player is, into that spot? Meaning, in other words, which characteristic do you want him to have? Do you want them to have the corner three offense, the offense now versus the offense that P.J. had while he was on the Bucks? Or would you rather have the defense come to the forefront, that being not just an agitator, but, as you said with Wesley Matthews, a versatile defender, can guard the two, the three, the four, and like they can guard a stretch forward like Kevin Durant and give them problems. Is that the main characteristic we're looking for?
The main characteristic we're looking for?
This team is filled with dogs.
I mean, you're right there. You knew it. You knew it as soon as he said that. You knew it as soon as Wesley Matthews said the exact same thing that endeared this city, that endeared P.J. Tucker to this city and this entire Legion of Bucks fans.
This team is filled with dogs. I mean, I know that was the theme last year. I mean, it was the theme before that.
Wesley Matthews saying this team has dogs was like a Spider-Man meme come to life. You got Wes in 2022. You got P.J. in 2021 just sitting there pointing at each other. That's what it felt like as soon as you heard Wesley Matthews. One last time for the people in the back. Wesley Matthews, as soon as we heard him say that.
This team is filled with dogs. I mean, I know that was the theme last year. I mean, it was the theme before that.
So the question I asked, the Cliff Notes 15 minutes later, the question I put out there first as a joke, but then the more it sat out there, like, maybe this isn't really a joke. Bigger overreaction here, 41 games into the season. Wesley Matthews is the new P.J. Tucker? Or the Nets are toast without Kyrie? That defense is brutal. The Nets are toast without Kyrie Irving. What's the bigger overreaction now midway through the season for the Bucks? 855-616-1620. 1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Darvin Ham discourse we got to get to. DeMarcus Cousins, because I continue to see what is so hard to comprehend here. Greg, I continue to see, well, Langston Galloway, we cut DeMarcus Cousins for Langston Galloway?
I don't think that's...
855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this. It's Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's a transition three, and Giannis drills it from straight away. How about Giannis Antetokounmpo? Mention, he probably wants to play this game a little bit more than the others, and he has showed it when he's been on the floor.
A near triple-double from Giannis. 9 assists, 7 of them went to threes. That has really been the theme so far this season, is Giannis's development as the playmaker and is essentially the point guard. We heard Darvin Ham talk about it after the game. The number one fan of this show texting in as well. That Darvin Ham, Giannis is Darvin Ham's point guard, as Paul Pressey was Don Nelson's point forward. Very apt comparison there. But the Bucks with an impressive win tonight. Was it their most impressive win of the season? 855-616-1620. Boy, we got a rambunctious texter here too, Greg. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk. The Darvin Ham discourse, and we have to say our piece on DeMarcus Cousins as well. Let's head to the phone lines, talk with Mike in Shorewood. You're up.
How you doing, man?
Not bad. What's up, Mike?
Hell of a win tonight. Hell of a win tonight. Yeah, to me it is the most impressive because we were undermanned. Obviously, we didn't have Holiday. They don't have Kyrie, so we're going to We were both on even playing field, and the Bucks just hammered them. So I got to say, a lot of people are still picking all the experts, the analysts. They're all the Vegas. They're all still picking Brooklyn. So they're all going to drink the Brooklyn Kool-Aid. And I think the Bucks are just better, even if they do get Kyrie, which I don't know how the hell this is going to work. I doubt he's going to stick to his unvaccinated thing. So that's good for us. That's fine by me. I just don't think they're as good. This team is just a collection of KD, go out there and make every play for us. Harden, I don't know, he's dropped off. I think with the new rule changes, I just don't think he's as good and dynamic as a player he was. So he's not getting those cheap calls anymore. So you see, he's kind of dropped off. So it's just him and hoping guys like Patty Mills or one of the guys like Aldridge or the old vets there, Griffin, somebody has a good night for them. I just don't think the Bucks fear this team. And that epic series last year, winning that game 7 in Brooklyn, I just think that they overclimbed the biggest roadblock for them, and I just think the Bucks are so confident now, they should be favored to get back out of the East. But I'm looking at this Bulls team; they keep winning, so I don't know if this is a mirage or they're that young ascending team that's going to take off. Do you think the Bucks should start taking them seriously, because they do got three set talent players in Levine, DeRozan, and a guy like Vukovic who can give you a double-double. What are your thoughts on that? Because I just look at the Bucks, and I know they've had a couple slip-ups here and there. I just think push comes to shove, they're the best team in the East.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. You brought up a lot there, so we'll take it apart point by point. I'll start with the Bulls thing. I guess we'll find out in what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks from today.
January 21st.
January 21st. It finally means something again. The Bucks and the Bulls, a border battle. Look, I was a big Bulls skeptic coming into the season, but 26 wins. The only other team in the East that has that many wins is the Bucks. So you can't dispute what they've done approaching the midpoint of the season. I still have some questions over how this translates to the playoffs. The same thing that we heard brought up about the Bucks all the way up until the finals last year as well. I still have some questions there, but the Bulls have certainly exceeded my expectations and impressed me. So you can't just diminish them and dismiss them immediately. I would still take the Bucks over the Bulls in a playoff series. I would take the Nets over the Bulls in a playoff series. Depending on what happens with the Ben Simmons situation, I think I would take the 76ers over the Bulls with the way that Joel Embiid is playing so far this season. But we'll learn a lot in the next couple of weeks here as they play the Bulls for the first time 2 weeks from tonight. And I believe their final three matchups all occur in the final month of the regular season. Now, the Brooklyn Nets thing, the elephant in the room. What is going on with this Nets team? It is a number of things. One, I saw Bobby Marks point this out, and it's one of those things where you have the eyeball test and you see things happen and you think, am I reading too much into this? Am I missing something here? And then you see somebody else point it out and you think, okay, I was right. I'm a genius. It felt like watching this team. What is taking so long here? Why is this offense moving so slow? I remember last year, James Harden was running the offense, and he came in motivated, and he was racking up double-doubles and triple-doubles, and he was the point guard. Kyrie was the two-guard, and that offense just hummed. It has not this season. It felt like a very, very slowly paced and slow-moving offense, and I saw Bobby Marks point this out, too, of, you know, Brooklyn is just rushing through things because they're not getting into their sets until there's 15 seconds left on the shot clock. That James Harden is taking the full 8 seconds to cross midcourt, and that's slowing everything down, and then you got to rush to find a bad shot. That's one thing. The defense has been atrocious in the last 2 weeks. Now, the Brooklyn Nets defense overall this season has been okay. And I think early in the season, that was one of the big surprises, as you looked at some of the success that they had. I mentioned it. Dave mentioned it at the end of the game as well. They're 500 at home. That probably has to do with not having, and I know he's only played one game this season, but that record might not get much better. They've lost five straight at home now. They're 500 overall. You're not going to have Kyrie Irving for home games for the foreseeable future. So that's not going to get much better. Their defense has just been okay this year. It was really good early, but it felt like it was fool's gold. That you looked at some of the shooting percentages from the opponents and where they were shooting from. There was a lot of luck variant that was going into that. The Bucks have certainly benefited from that at times this season as well. But you looked at some of the things their defense did and you thought, this can't possibly last, can it? And the answer is no, it can't and it won't. That in the last couple of weeks here, their defense has been an absolute train wreck. I think you saw it tonight. Look at how easy it was for the Bucks to basically get whatever they wanted and get into their offensive sets and get in rhythm. The Nets after this game tonight are 14th in defensive rating. They were in the top 10 and really in the top close to 5. For the first month or so of the season. It felt like that was a lot of luck and a lot of fool's gold. They're down to 14th now, which is basically in the middle. And in the last 2 weeks, it has just been absolutely brutal. Where they are, I believe, 22nd in defensive rating in those 2 weeks. And a lot of that is what he brought up. You look at some of these names and why you also have to feel very optimistic for the Bucks again in a potential matchup between these two teams. How many minutes, Greg, did we see Blake Griffin tonight?
None.
How many minutes did we see Paul Millsap tonight?
None.
How many minutes did we see LaMarcus Aldridge tonight?
Like 8?
Trick question. Yeah, you did see him. He played 9 minutes.
Oh, it's close.
Bruce Brown, think about how much of an X factor he was in that series last year. Now, granted, when the Bucks played Brooke Lopez at center, you put Bruce Brown on the floor to kind of combat that and to pull Brooke away and make Brooke play a little more nimble. But still, Bruce Brown played 11 minutes tonight and scored 7 points with 4 rebounds. It's not what you saw last year. Blake Griffin was insane in that series last year. All of these guys are a year older, and with Blake Griffin, when they signed him, everybody pointed to, well, wait a minute. Blake Griffin wasn't good in Detroit, so how is this going to help? And then Blake Griffin looked like the guy he was early in Detroit, and you think, well, where was this? Where was this the last couple of years? It appears the clock has struck midnight, and he's not that version anymore. Paul Millsap has dealt with the same thing. And I know there's been injuries, and I know Jalen Rose will be quick to point it out and will complain about it, but it's not the same group it was last year. these guys that you leaned on so heavily, as thin as the Nets were last year, they're not giving you the same production. Cam Thomas was incredible again, and he's been great for them this year. Take him out of the mix, they're in big trouble. Kevin Durant, I mean, look at the minutes that they're piling up on KD, on James Harden. Patty Mills played 32 minutes tonight. Patty Mills is another guy that he's getting old, and he looked old tonight. You got a lot of aging guys in Brooklyn, and you got a lot of role players that aren't playing as well as they did a year ago. With the Bucks, Giannis, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, I mean, that trio, when they play, they rarely lose. Bobby Portis, the same guy that couldn't really play in the final four games of this series last year, Bobby Portis made it look easy tonight against Kevin Durant. And I know it's a regular season, but Bobby Portis made it look easy. Wesley Matthews is giving you those minutes where he looks like P.J. Tucker. Think about, you didn't even have those five guys we named. You didn't even have Brooke Lopez. And you're up at one point by 24 against the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, this is a deep-loaded Bucks team. It's two teams that just appear to be moving in opposite directions. James Harden doesn't look to be the same guy that he was. And I know he brought up free throw shooting as well. The numbers have started to come up a little bit for James Harden. And we've seen league-wide, that's kind of been the story. The free throw numbers have started to go up in terms of, you know, attempts that guys are getting up there. But it's still not where it was a year ago. I mean, in the first seven games of the season, in October, James Harden took 32 free throws. Less than five a game. This is a guy that was averaging double figures. Now, that went to 99 free throw attempts in November in 14 games. So, more than doubled what he did in double the amount of games. But December, he played eight games. It was 71 free throws. So, still, they're going up. But it's not to the level that we've seen the last couple of years. And that is a big part of James Harden's game. We've only seen regular season games. He may look different in the postseason, but he doesn't have that same burst that he had. Now, how much of that is related to he's older? How much of that is related to the injury from last year? How much of that is related to what I'm assuming you want to bring up since you laughed? Who knows? It's probably a combination of all of them.
I just say, did we see a burst out of anything out of James Harden today?
I'm not writing off the Nets, but I got a lot of questions, and I'd be very concerned with what I'm seeing right now in the season if I'm the Brooklyn Nets here. I guess the ultimate who knows is they're 10-10 at home. Kyrie Irving, as we said, I mean, for the foreseeable future, he's not going to be playing in home games. Right now, the Brooklyn Nets are tied with the Bucks for the second-best record. They are a game in front of the Miami Heat, and they're 2.5 games in front of the Sixers. So what if the Sixers get hot? I mean, if it gets to the point where Brooklyn starts to drop down a little more, and you know we can't play them in home games, if you're Brooklyn and you're in that 4-5 line, what incentive do you have for getting the 4 seed? Say, you know what? If we drop to 5, it means we get Kyrie more. Because we're going to have to play more road games. It's something to keep an eye on as we move towards the end of the season. 855-616-1620, the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us tonight. A lot of texts pouring in, Greg. We're seeing texts, too, to call this number. We don't call you. You call us. That's the way it works around here. 855-616-1620. Darvin Ham and Boogie Cousins. We'll get into that next. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's Giannis spinning the other way, feeds to the corner, catch and shoot three from Jordan Warren. He rattles it through. That's a big time bucket from the second year man out of Louisville as the Bucks needed it. Stems the tide a bit here.
A couple of minutes left on the program tonight, and by the way, Darvin Ham, first of all, first win for Darvin Ham.
Let's go!
Right, Darvin Ham, the long journey in the G League, the D League it was known as when he was coaching there, an assistant with Bud for years upon years at Atlanta, here in Milwaukee all 4 years, and now Darvin Ham, third chance, gets his first win at the NBA level, filling in tonight for Bud. But you played Wu-Tang coming back right there. Darvin Ham with the Wu-Tang reference after the game. I mean, if there's you're looking for more reasons to like and root for Darvin Ham, the saga will continue. Darvin Ham, though, look, when you heard Darvin Ham talking with the media before the game, all of us that have been around the team for years have obviously gotten to know him and see this is the guy. Like, Bud has the utmost confidence in him. You see year after year after year, Darvin Ham's name comes up in coaching vacancies. He always is among the top of the list for most teams. Interviewed with the Thunder, the Bulls, the Wizards, the Pelicans in the last offseason. I believe there was one more team as well. Year before, same thing. At this point, I'm more shocked that Darvin Ham hasn't been poached yet. But after watching this and listening to Darvin Ham in the postgame there and hearing Darvin Ham in front of the media, he's gone, right? I mean, Darvin Ham is getting a head coaching job this summer. It's one of those, I don't want him to leave, but you want him to get the job. But you just see he belongs. He should be the head coach of a team. You see how much the players revere him, how well respected and how well liked he is, how respected he is, how well liked he is by his peers, by the players. It's a matter of time. And I think this really was, I'm not even going to say a tune-up, because Darvin said this before the game against the Raptors. He doesn't, you know, put too much into it. I got to find the exact quote he had, but it was basically, look, I know I can coach at the NBA level. This isn't me putting pressure on myself and saying, man, I really got to prove myself. I know I can do this. It's just basically sticking to the process and, you know, just going out there and not screwing up is basically what he put out there. My job is to just keep the bus moving forward in the right direction. Don't change anything. Stick with the plan. We're not reinventing the wheel here. I'm not looking to make a big splash and to prove to the world I can coach. I already know that I can. That's what he said before the Raptors game. And, I mean, when you just hear him talk after the game, you heard him talk before the game as well. This is a guy that belongs on the sidelines as a head coach, and I think it's only a matter of time before, unfortunately, there's a big hit to Bud's staff and Darvin Ham is coaching against him somewhere. Charles Lee's another guy that was in considerations in a number of spots, and Charles Lee's a guy that is probably going to be at that level. That in itself is maybe the biggest credit to Bud. Bringing a championship here, changing the culture, or being a big part of changing the culture and putting all of these new things in place for this team. And to see what Taylor Jenkins is doing, by the way, with the Grizzlies, who are really good, fourth best record in the Western Conference, to see that, if Darvin Ham moves on, if Charles Lee moves on, and if you have in the span of 3 years, three guys that leave your staff to take head coaching jobs elsewhere in the league, I mean, that is a testament to the job that Coach Mike Budenholzer has done here in Milwaukee. 855-616-1620 is the phone number to call us. On Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. You're burying your head in your hands there, Greg. Long night?
No, I'm actually just thinking of the most, I'm trying to go back to your original question and most impressive win. And the other win that I can think of is when they hosted the Lakers at home. And when the Bucks, it took until maybe 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter to finally separate themselves.
That was the Chris return.
Correct.
Right? You know what's funny is, I was looking through, because the Bulls are the only Eastern Conference team the Bucks have yet to play this season.
Which is just setting the stage.
Insane. That the team closest to you is the team that you have still yet to play within your conference. I think there's six teams total that they have not played yet. The others are in the Western Conference, obviously. But I remember looking through a spreadsheet that I keep and seeing, okay, here's the numbers and the averages versus these teams, and seeing, yeah, there's none against the Bulls, and then stumbling upon the Lakers and, like, thinking, when did they play the Lakers? How am I already forgetting this game? And I could have sworn I inputted data wrong. Like, they didn't play the Lakers, did they? And then, oh, yeah, that was the game where Chris Middleton came back, and that started the win streak. So that in itself feels like a different season for this team. It feels like we're 41 games in. They're at the midpoint now. We didn't even ask and do the hokey, hey, what's your midseason grade for the Bucks? What are you looking forward to most in the second half?
Look at that low-hanging fruit over there.
Yeah, by the way, we'll do that tomorrow. It feels like we've seen like three different seasons already. I mean, you think back to opening night where that was the closest up until last week that you saw to a full strength squad. Think about what you saw the first 2 weeks of the season when there was injuries. Think about what you're seeing now. It feels like there's been a lot of different, I hate to use the term, but variants on this season for the Bucks. But here they are, second best record in the conference, and an impressive win. I think it's their most impressive win of the season. You do it shorthanded. You do it with no backcourt. And Giannis looks like the best player on the not only on the floor, looks like the best player in the league when he's sharing the floor with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and a guy that scored 15 on his team in a quarter in Chris Middleton. So the most impressive win for the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us. Just a couple of minutes left on the program tonight. DeMarcus Cousins. We did the eulogy for DeMarcus Cousins' Bucks career. And actually, I shouldn't even say that because we saw the quote from John Horst that, you know, we're not shutting the door on doing business with Boogie again. But look, it was a surprising move, I suppose, just because you looked at the spot this team was in with their depth, the lack of it in the front court, and you thought, huh, that's really interesting. I did not see that coming. But there's always more to it. And this isn't a DeMarcus Cousins off the floor, you can't trust him. Like we heard a few people, well, I don't know, it was only a matter of time before he becomes the guy from Sacramento. It was defense, plain and simple. He's not the guy he was in Sacramento in a number of areas. He's not the guy he was there in terms of the athleticism. We saw that. He's a below-the-rim player at this point in his career. But there was a lot of struggles on defense. Their offense was great when DeMarcus Cousins was on the floor. Their defense was not so great. And that includes the minutes that DeMarcus and Giannis shared the floor together. Not so good. By the way, it's a very, very, very small sample. But in the limited minutes, we have seen Drew Holiday and Wesley Matthews, PJ Tucker 2.0. The limited minutes, that duo has shared the floor together. The Bucks' defense has been insane, and their net rating has been over 100, plus 100 points per 100 possessions with Wes and Drew Holiday on the floor. That speaks to the job they've done defensively. What, Drew Holiday, you ask?
This team is filled with dogs. I mean, I know that was the theme last year. I mean, it was the theme before that.
That Drew Holiday. So defense is the reason why DeMarcus Cousins is here. Now, you're better than this. Read. Look at the roster. Look at what players are being signed to. Don't see Langston Galloway. They cut Boogie Cousins for him. Downton Abbey. They cut Boogie Cousins for him. No. These are hardship deals. The Bucks wanted the flexibility. Wesley Matthews' contract is guaranteed. So they have one spot left open. It's the same thing they did last year. That's what helped them get PJ Tucker. That and a consolidation deal in the 2-for-1 to send out DJ Wilson, DJ Augustine, any other player named DJ, and bring in PJ. That's what the Bucks are doing here again. If there's nobody, maybe it means DeMarcus Cousins is back. He talked about how much he loved it here, but that's why they did it. That's who they did it for. It isn't a 10-day hardship deal is here in lieu of DeMarcus Cousins. Road trip continues tomorrow night. Bucks in Charlotte to take on the Hornets. Another opportunity for you to call in. Instead of texting in, you can call in and interact with us on the show tomorrow night. 6 o'clock tip-off. We'll get started on the Bucks Radio Network at 5:30. My thanks to Greg and Chris for producing the show. All of you for your texts and hanging out for the last hour as well. You've been listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.